Sadducees are trying to confuse Jesus or trip him up or trap him, trying to discredit him. Because as we heard, that the Sadducees, or that sect, that group of believers, of Jews who did not believe in the resurrection, they only held to the first five books of the scriptures, the Torah. And their reading, they could find no reason to believe, no evidence for the resurrection after dead. And so they're just trying to make a fool out of Jesus by asking this absurd question. But as he usually does, he silences those questioners who are insincere in their question. And so we have the Sadducees trying to be tricky with him, and at the end it says the scribes said, "Oh, you have answered well." These scribes may have been part of the same group of Sadducees, or there may have been another group of scholars of the law. That's what the scribes are. But we know that the scribes as a body were not in favor of Jesus. So perhaps we have one or two groups here in the scriptures who are opposed to Jesus, trying to make him fit into their framework. And even the scribes, maybe they did believe in the resurrection. And so, yeah, you have answered well, because this one point of your theology corresponds to mine. And so while we can dive into this passage and go into the depths of our belief of the resurrection, but we can also say, the questions that we pose to Jesus in the agreement that we give to his teachings, do we agree because he is God? And as tomorrow we celebrate King of the Universe? Or does he just agree with what I think is good and true and beautiful, so I can go along with those parts? But the parts that I don't understand, the parts that I don't believe, the parts that are confusing to me, I just kind of discount and dismiss. This is what we have here coming to light in this scripture. And so we want to ask for a complete docility, that total surrender of humble obedience to the complete teaching of Christ that's made known to us through his church. And when we do that, then we can really say that we rejoice in his salvation. I won't go into that confusing first reading, but if you want to take that phrase, I will rejoice in your salvation. Go back to that first reading, and what was the king rejoicing in? Once again, it's self-motivation. But to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. What does that mean? What does that look like? This is why it's so wonderful that Mother Church presents to us the wide array of saints, the communion of saints, those who are living that resurrection of the living, those who are fully alive in God. Pope Benedict would tell us that they are the constellations, those lights in our path guiding us to heaven. And in today's great saint, Saint Catherine of Alexandria, a virgin and martyr, was martyred around the year 300, lived in Alexandria, Egypt, a noble birth, but had heard the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, and gave her life to Jesus. And like Saint Catherine of Siena, 1,000 years later, Saint Catherine of Alexandria had the courage to go to the emperor who was persecuting the church gruesomely. She went to him and tried to convert him and preach the gospel to him and try to get him to stop the killing. He didn't listen, but many people in his court, many people near him, heard the message, and they converted, and they were martyred immediately because this emperor's power was being threatened by the gospel. He proposed marriage to Catherine, and she rejected because she had already consecrated herself to the Lord. And so he attempted to martyr her. A couple of failed attempts, but finally she was beheaded. We can say she's a great example of finding the joy in the Lord, rejoicing in his salvation. For a while, St. Catherine was not part of our calendar, because we didn't have all the perfect historical evidence. Until St. John Paul II visited the Holy Land in the year 2000, we encountered the Orthodox, who have a church dedicated to her name on the top of Mount Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And when he encountered their devotion, and then going back to the pages of history, knowing how important St. Catherine was throughout, especially the Middle Ages, St. John Paul II put her back on our calendar. And so we have the joy of celebrating her witness to the faith. St. Catherine of Alexandria is purported to be one of those divine images that came to St. Joan of Arc. Another great woman in the faith who helped France stay faithful to God in the face of such persecution. You know, in our day and age where there's so much confusion about gender and sex, and we confuse ourselves about the role of women in the church, role of women in the world, it's a privilege to be able to look at the lives of these great women who heard the gospel and gave their life to Christ and didn't fall prey to the power struggle of the Marxist revolution, but truly gave themselves to Christ. And the wonderful, life-changing impact that this one woman has had on thousands of people throughout the ages. We want to claim power, there it is. Why? Because she believes in the resurrection. She's living it now. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed to her in a way that she could understand it, in a way that she could surrender to it. So those of us who have heard the gospel, as you share the gospel with the people in your life, you might be helping raise up the next Catherine of Alexandria, the next Catherine of Jacksonville, who will have untold impact on the lives of the church for years, for centuries to come. This is why it's so important for us to know the faith and to love the saints, because they are the constellations. They are the guides in our journey towards heaven. And when we allow their lives to change our lives, when we allow Christ to change our lives, we can truly say that we will rejoice in his salvation.